Hey, this is Carmen, and thanks for listening to the Carmen and Yurko podcast, brought to you by Miller Lite, the presenting sponsor of the 2020 ESPN Chicago Virtual Fantasy Football Championship. Find out how to be a part of it at ESPNFFC.com.
See what Carmen and Yurko are talking about on Twitch.
Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago today.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Hope everyone's having a great day. Carmen and Yurko rolling along on this Thursday. Cubs will be in action tonight, off day for the White Sox. And then, as we've discussed, they are scheduled for a doubleheader on the south side against the St. Louis Cardinals on Saturday. They'll finally be back in action, as long as nothing crazy happens in these next 2 days. And it'll be over 2 weeks since the Cardinals last played. Who the hell knows what to expect from them in terms of what the performance on the field is going to look like. But the White Sox took 2 out of 3 to rally and grab that series in Detroit, so they're back above 500. And right now the Cubs look like the best team in baseball, or certainly one of them. Best record, one of the best run differentials. They're getting good starting pitching, getting some timely offense, and they became the first team to score more than 4 runs in a game against the Indians this year, and they did it twice. Blackhawks play at 4:30. Going to be an early one, which is better than the 9:30 start that we've been accustomed to here so far in the last couple of weeks. They are going for the split in the first 2 games here against the Golden Knights after losing 1-0, losing 4-1 in Game 1, excuse me, a couple of nights ago. I still can't get over here just how much crap Corey Crawford takes. And look, Corey was not great in Game 1. The first goal, that wasn't good. He really wasn't screened. I mean, that puck went right over his glove. Corey Crawford has to stop that. The third goal, not a great one either. Also a terrible turnover by Jonathan Toews, and we don't say that very often,
yeah,
but
not
just
all the
a
time.
Terrible neutral zone turnover by Jonathan Toews. You're right, we're not accustomed to saying
made
that.
Worse when it goes in the net.
It is made worse, and so I get it. Like, he wasn't great. Corey's not always great, but it is amazing to me. You know what it reminds me of, Yurk? It reminds me of Pedro Strop, if I can make the comparison to
a different sport.
Yeah, yeah. Like, Pedro Strop, on the macro, like, wouldn't you say, and if I'm not mistaken, Pedro Strop was in the Arrieta deal. I mean, yes, you got, you know, Arrieta, who was incredible for you for an amazing stretch. But, like, think about how well you did in that deal and how vital Pedro Strop was to you. And I hope I'm right about that. Merck, double check. I think Strop was in that deal. Like, think about how good really
on
the macro.
He was in that deal. Kyle.
Right, Merck?
Yeah.
Like, how good he was on the macro for the Chicago Cubs. But every time he, like, anytime something went wrong or he got hit or gave up a home run, like, people jumped down his throat. Sylvie talked about it all the time. Like, he could never understand all the vitriol from Cub fans towards Pedro Strop. And I feel the same way with Corey Crawford. Like, I can't believe on Twitter or on other social platforms, like, how much crap he gets, and people always been garbage for years, and he should never be allowed to start another game for the Hawks. Like, I don't get it. The one good thing is Corey normally bounces back after a subpar performance, and I'm hoping that's the case tonight. But anybody that thinks that the Hawks would have been better off these last couple of years with a different goaltender, I got to say that they're sorely mistaken. And Corey Crawford is on the list of concerns on the priority checklist. He's just not, I mean, like, he's far down on the list for me. I'm sorry.
Well, there's other factors and other areas you are concerned about. But the consistency and then the inability to be disciplined off the ice are certainly legitimate areas of concern. I don't think anybody can argue with that.
Yeah, I mean, there's been some off-the-ice stuff. Okay, I mean, if you're coming at me armed with that, I kind of get it. But the idea that his play is somehow garbage, like, that I can't get behind. I'm sorry. He's by far their best chance.
Okay, but they had 2 garbage goals the other day, so at the best, I'm going to say he's somewhat inconsistent.
He normally responds.
Yeah.
And
well, which
would
be great. I mean, one game on, one game off doesn't make you a fantastic goaltender.
I thought that the Hawks actually did some good things in the first game, but, like, this might be sort of scary to think about, because for all the good things they did at the end of the game, they lost by 3 goals.
Right, but listen, and you said it there. That's probably a 2-1 game they lost. I'm more concerned, you know, the goaltender, and people want to lambast him. That's fine. Go ahead. If you want to tee up on Corey Crawford, I don't even mind. It doesn't hurt my feelings. It doesn't matter to me. You know, I can trust if he's on that he's only going to give up 2-3 goals, which gives the Hawks a chance to win games. Your offense sucks right now against this team, the Las Vegas Knights. It's because they limit opportunities. They've done it all year. That's what they do. They limit your opportunities to get the puck at the net. And if you're only going to shoot 20 times, well, you better find a way to get 3 or 4 by them.
Yeah,
that's not, you know, they better be high quality chances then if that if that's what's going on. So
not a lot of shots.
My problem is with scoring. You score one. Carm, go over the every game that's been played. How many 1-0 games have there been?
Probably not many.
Yeah, if any, maybe one. The point is, you can't win in the NHL scoring one goal. It's not going to happen. You have to be more consistent on the offensive end.
You're right about that.
Yeah. And so, yes, I'm not concerned about Corey, because I've got more faith in the fact that Corey is going to, you know, maybe only give up 2 or 3 goals. I don't know if the Hawks are going to score more than 1-2 the rest of the series. That's the problem.
Yerk brings up a good point. I mean, the one thing that Vegas does extremely well is limit those high danger chances and limit the opposition's ability to sort of possess the puck. And you know, they don't surrender a ton of chances because they have the puck a lot. I mean, they really do remind you a little bit of when the Hawks were in their prime. The way they're constructed, you've got a couple of lines that can really, really score. Those top two lines, and this is with Max Pacioretty just coming back, and he wasn't particularly sharp in game one, and he's one of their best players when he's healthy and he's right. Like, their top two lines are ridiculously good because they can possess the puck, they can score a lot, they've got some really good two-way players. Then, you know, they can roll up their fourth line and just destroy people. I mean, just be physical and fearless and intimidating, and they really do remind you of the Hawks in their prime. I think that's what makes them a one seed and such a scary team in the Western Conference right now is the way that they're built. And they got a little bit of everything, scoring, defensive-minded guys that play two ways, defensemen that can jump in and join the rush and can skate them out of trouble. Leonard has been good, and he was okay, although, like Yerk said, he was barely tested. I mean, and if you're only going to get 20 shots – good luck to you. And so DeBrincat, Doc, Kane, that line, got to find a way to get going. You got to find a way to get Kane going. If that means pairing him up with Johnny, maybe you try that. Maybe you load up one phenomenal line of Taves, Kane, and Kubalik, and you see if you can't generate some offense that way. I don't know. We leave that to Jeremy Calton, and hopefully it's something that's going on in the back of his head right now. But you got to find a way to get Kane going because, you're not going to beat them. You're not going to beat many teams generating as little as they generated in game one, Yerk. You're right.
Well, during the regular season, Kane was your best player, right?
Yeah.
Overall?
Yeah.
Kane was your best player?
Yeah.
Could you say in the playoffs here that he's been a little bit of a mystery?
Yes.
Yeah.
He's got one goal.
Yeah. No assists?
No, he's got a couple helpers, too. Okay. I know, but he's only scored one goal.
Yeah.
No, you're right. And why can't DeBrincat score anymore?
I don't know.
Nobody's got an answer for that.
I don't
know. He didn't even really look dangerous the other night. And, you know, that line's got to find a way to get going. You know, a lot is expected of them. And they're young. Like, DeBrincat's young. Kirby Dach's a teenager. But, hey, you're playing with the big boys right now. And I know this is valuable experience for them. If there's one great thing that's going to come out of this, and okay, you missed your chance at the top pick, fine. You had an 87.5% chance of not getting it anyway. Maybe you go out meekly in this series. But if there's one good thing, it's that some of the young guys do get a little taste of playoff hockey. And hopefully they can make this a little bit longer of a series than everybody thinks. Because just going by game one, especially the way the last sort of 25, 30 minutes went, I mean, I think you got a clear idea that Vegas is just a much better hockey team right now.
Well, here's my problem. When they dumped the puck in, the Blackhawks, the forwards do a tremendous job of shielding players. You know, they've got two levels. The defensemen go back on the board, and the forwards are shielding the forecheck. So they see where you're coming in, they get in your way, and it's obstruction. Basically what it is obstruction, but they're not moving into you. They get in your way and make it hard to get around them, so you never get a clean forecheck. Their defensemen get the puck. They get it clean. They get to turn around. They get to look and see what they want to do with the puck.
What was with the refs bailing out Robin Leonard twice, by the way? I mean, I guess that is a discretionary thing.
I think at the point where the puck exits the zone, then maybe they have a discretion to blow the whistle. But if the puck is in the zone, then you've got to play.
You know, normally, it's, you know, and at this point was made by Eddie O. It was made by Jamal Mayers and by PB and by Steve Conrad after the game. I mean, when it's a skater, you know, you're left. You got to get off the ice. I mean, that's it. You lose a blade. Something like that happens. You got to find a way to get off the ice. They're not going to blow the play dead.
Right. They're not saving you.
They're not saving you.
You got to swim or you got to have somebody help you get to the side.
Exactly. The rules are a little different for goalies in terms of some of their other equipment. The mask comes off. That's it. It's too dangerous otherwise. I get it. Strap comes loose. Something's a malfunction with their equipment. They're padding and the refs are blowing it dead. But I just the skate blade thing was a little bit of a surprise to me. And I felt like there were a couple of times where maybe they let them off the hook a little bit too easy. But York made the best point. The Hawks made it easy for Robin Leonard. That's it. I mean, you can't expect to beat teams 1-0 anymore in this league. You're right, York, and you can't expect to just have 20 shots and really not have a ton of
great
high
opportunities. Yeah,
opportunities. Had a few early on, but just didn't generate a lot after that. And they're going to have to be a whole lot better tonight if they want to even up the series.
Yeah, and look at line matchups tonight and analyze what's happening during those line matchups. Because when we come in here and we want to talk about, I think Game 3 is going to happen Saturday.
Saturday. Game 3, I believe, is Saturday.
Right.
Correct.
So we'll be prepping for a Game 4 probably on Monday. And we'll see what changes the Hawks make. When they've got the last
No, actually, they're back-to-back Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, Saturday and Sunday.
They?
That's right, they are.
Well,
they're back-to-back this weekend.
Another key thing to look at to see what adjustments the Hawks make on Saturday, to how they try to open up their offensive guys and what they want to go with the last change, who they match up over there, who they try to break free. It could be that whoever Kaner is going up against, his line, they're trying to break them loose and play them against somebody specific. So they can maybe capitalize on getting some more freedom for them.
312-332-3776. That's the number if you've got a thought. You still have faith in the Hawks and Corey Crawford that they can make this a series. Vegas does look like the better team, so we'll see. I know a lot of people keep saying, hey, eights beat ones all the time in the NHL. They do. I thought Pat Boyle made the best point when he said this isn't a normal postseason. The Hawks aren't a regular eight seed. Let's face it, they weren't in the playoffs. Had COVID not happened, Blackhawks aren't in the playoffs this year, you know? So they are a little bit of a different type of eight seed, even though technically that's what it says when you look at these matchups right now. 312-332-3776. They're a dog again tonight, York, as you'd expect. They're plus 170 on the money line. Vegas is minus 200. So about the same as it was going into game one.
Actually, I think Carmen's up a little bit because I remember plus 135, I think, for the first game. So they jumped up a significant amount.
I thought it was close. Okay, I thought it was about close. I remember Vegas being about a minus 200 favorite on the money line at the very least.
Yeah.
Going into game one.
I go a lot off my gut because I don't know a lot about hockey. And my gut tells me.
What does your gut tell you, Mike?
My gut tells me Vegas big today. Sorry.
What's your trifecta then with all three? As you go, right?
Cubs, well, no Sox tonight.
So your daily double.
Your big, yeah. What's the daily double?
What's your daily double today?
I would bet Cubs with giving run and a half. They will destroy the Brewers tonight.
Woodruff is pitching, though, right?
Yeah.
I think it's Darvish versus Woodruff. They got their best pitcher going.
Doesn't
Darvish
matter.
Has been good, though, man.
Darvish is, except for one bad outing, right? Even that wasn't
the first
terrible.
Outing
yeah.
of the
first
year.
First outing.
Was,
yeah. First
Boy,
outing
I mean,
was horrific.
Tyler Chatwood was so good his first two and was miserable in his third. So
yeah,
you know,
well, that's kind of Tyler Chatwood. Yeah. And that's everybody's fifth starter, isn't it? How about Hendricks again last night? You know, like Hendricks, they had their chances, Cleveland. He grinded his way through, though. He has become such a master to the left-handed hitters with that changeup down and away. I mean, like that put-out pitch that he's got with that changeup right now is just phenomenal. Like they have no chance against that thing. And he grinded. Was last night one of those games where, and maybe this is why Cub fans do like the change, you know, from Joe Maddon to David Ross. Like, was last night one of those games in the fifth or the sixth inning where, you know, they've got runners on base and Joe Madden's going to the bullpen? Don't you just get the feeling that that would have happened last night, like especially in the fifth inning, that Joe Maddon would have went out and got him, and that's what always drove Cub fans crazy, and David Ross let him go out there, finish the fifth, and then finish the sixth?
Yeah, that's probably what you would have seen from Joe.
That's why I drove him.
Joe, the micromanaging of Joe.
Yes.
That's what it wasn't a World Series game, but he still would have gone out there and got him.
Yeah.
Did you hear the audio cut? I'm trying to find
David
it.
Ross?
Yes.
It's great.
Yes, we'll find it. It's good.
He was giving the whole plant up a hard time. It was great. You can hear everything. I mean, these umps hear everything. They hear the players, every little thing. Did you guys see Zach Greinke shouting out, you know, the signs? You know, San Fran had runners on base. He and the catcher kept getting mixed up for whatever reason. He called it out, like, for the whole park to hear. He didn't even care. And he got the guy out then. But, I mean, you know, you can't hide anything anymore. There's no sound.
So what did he say? What did it sound like?
He said your second sign after the first or something like that. He was basically, like, telling the Giants what the indicator
was.
He didn't want to come off the mound. He didn't want the catcher to come out to him. He basically blurted it out.
Second after the first.
Yes.
Maybe that was code.
I don't know.
You know, I'm just say second after the first, meaning third after the first.
I don't know.
Could be code.
Did you guys see? I tagged you on it. I don't know if you looked on Twitter. Did you guys see the chart I put on Twitter of Jose Altuve's swing and miss by season? And if you look at the breaking ball swing and miss this year, it's something, Yurk. I mean, the haters are having a field day. You know, the Astros haters, I guarantee, are having a field day with all this. You know,
yeah, I'm
not so easy when you don't know what's coming.
Yeah, I've got to look at it. Is it in the blue?
It's in the blue. And now, in fairness, this bad trend started last year. Maybe there was no buzzer in the World Series last year. In fairness, this trend you can see starts to develop in 2019. And boy, you want to call it an outlier. I mean, it is, you know, take it for what it's worth. I tweeted it knowing that it gets all the people who despise the Astros because of the cheating scandal. It gets them going. And my Twitter app mentions were filled pretty quickly with, see, it's not so easy when you don't know what's coming. He's a bum. Throw him out of baseball. Cheaters cheat. You know, you got all
so
that.
So I see the years is one side. What's the vertical vertices, the going up top?
That's the swing. That's the percentage, Jerk.
Okay,
swing and
percentage.
Miss percentage.
I got
yeah.
you.
Yeah. So you can see just how drastic the increase is. And, I mean, he's being fooled by breaking balls compared to his career.
Right.
At just, like, a mind-boggling rate.
Yeah, he's been anywhere from, it looks like he's been anywhere from, like, 15% to about 25% during his career.
And now?
And now he's jumped all the way up to about 40%.
Oh, yeah, about 39%. Yeah. Speaking of swing and miss, I've got a concern about swing and miss with my beloved team, even though, you know, we don't view strikeouts quite the same way as we used to. I mean, there's more of a tolerance, I guess, in baseball than there once was, even when I was a kid growing up, for strikeouts. But I do want to talk about one thing with Yurk when it comes to my team and the swing and miss stuff right now. If you got a thought on our baseball teams or the Blackhawks going into Game 2 tonight and how they can even the series with Vegas, let us know. 312-332-3776. We're coming right back.
It's Carmen and Yurko. Follow us on the gram at Carmen and Yurko and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Hey, just a reminder, tomorrow, 8 a.m., Friday morning, 8 a.m., is the deadline to get yourself registered for the great Coors Light promotion that we're doing again this week with playoff hockey being back and Cold Steel on Ice dropping the puck at 4:30 this afternoon, as we've talked about. And if you want to get that Coors Light delivered right to your house, you can do so. Get.coorslight.com. That's get.coorslight.com. Yurko's going to make a special delivery to one lucky listener after the show tomorrow. So just text Chicago Chill, one word, because Coors Light was made to chill. Text Chicago Chill to 31996. And as long as you're 21 or older, and as long as you live in Illinois or Indiana, you will be registered and eligible to win. And then there's going to be three runners up, too, and they'll get some ice cold Coors Light. But the grand prize winner is going to get a delivery from the good kid, the Yeti cooler, filled up with ice cold Coors Light and some other swag.
And, Carm, I implore whoever wins, just in case,
make sure your grass is watered.
Make sure your grass is watered. It's cut. Everything's all your bushes are trimmed, you know, because the good kid will point that out without hesitation.
Make sure your grass is edged nice and neat, you know. And
I want it the way it needs to be.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't want to get there and see a substandard facility.
So make sure your lawn is well manicured. It's 8 o'clock tomorrow morning. That's the deadline. Chicago Chill, 31996. And again, get.coorslight.com if you want to order Coors Light right to your house. So the Sox offense finally came to life. Dallas Keuchel maybe got him going a little bit, but I was happy to hear as we discussed earlier in the week, what Dallas Keuchel had to say following the ugly loss on Monday night. And as we learned from James McCann, Dallas Keuchel said that to everybody in that clubhouse. He didn't just walk to the media and say it. And that's the sign of good leadership, if you ask me. And Dallas Keuchel is one of the few guys that understands what it takes to win in this league inside that clubhouse. And I was glad he said what he said. Getting Tim Anderson back certainly helps. Aloy came to life a little bit the last couple of games. He's hit a home run in back-to-back games. Big bases clearing two-out double by Luis Robert yesterday. So after scoring just 14 runs, Yerk, in their previous seven. I mean, this offense is too talented for that. I'm sorry. Even with the injuries. After scoring 14 runs in their previous seven before two nights ago, now they've scored 15 runs in their last two games. And they took it to the Tigers pretty well in these last two. So now they come home for this weekend series against the St. Louis Cardinals. But one thing that scares me a little bit are the strikeouts. Yeah, we have more of a tolerance for them as baseball fans, baseball front offices certainly do. But, boy, the Sox are striking out a lot. Only the Braves and the A's strike out more often. Now,
it's modern-day baseball, though, right?
Well, it kind of, but here's when it's modern-day. When you're striking out and you're still getting on base a lot and you're walking a lot. You know, the A's strike out the most. They also lead the league. Actually, they might be second. The Braves might be one. The A's also lead the league in walks. You know, both teams are in the top half in Major League Baseball. The two teams that strike out more often, the A's and the Braves, they're still in the top half in MLB in runs per game. The White Sox are not. They're close, but they're not. They're actually 17th. They're 21st in walks overall, and they've got one of the lowest walk rates in the league. Two teams below them are the Marlins and Cardinals. You can barely count them. They haven't played a lot. So the Sox really are like 21 out of 28 teams in terms of walks. It's still just something that they don't do well. They don't have a lot of guys that profile that way. And for whatever reason, I don't want to say they're not teaching it as an organization because I think they know the importance of working the count and putting good at-bats together and getting on base. Just historically, they haven't developed guys that do it a lot. And I thought adding Grandal and Encarnacion would help that a little. Grandal's certainly done his part, Encarnacion not as much. But they just don't walk a lot. And Robert and Aloy can still be exploited at times by good, hard-breaking stuff out of the zone. And until they become more disciplined, and it's easy for me to say on my couch, I guess, but I can't say it. I am sitting on my couch. Until they become more disciplined in those at-bats, in those moments, they're still going to be an easy out at times. And I think they're too good to not be getting on base at a higher clip.
Carm, I think the White Sox make the playoffs. And remember, anybody that thought this team was going to win 40 games out of 60 was fooling themselves. And you're on track to be exactly where you were going to be if you were playing a regular season. We had them finishing with 83 victories. When I made predictions for Major League Baseball that never came to fruition, the number I had was 83, an 11-game improvement from last year for the White Sox. You're there. 31 and 29, in essence, is your improvement. So you're trending that way.
They're about an 81 and like an 82-win team right now, aren't they, Eric? Exactly.
You are going to play mediocre baseball. It's going to be average baseball. Sometimes you're going to look good. Sometimes you're going to look bad. But at the end of the year, you're going to qualify in one of the final spots. One of the final spots that you have to qualify for in baseball, one of eight. You're going to get there because of that. All right? That's where you're at right now. And, you know, the inconsistency that you've seen, the six-game winning streak, the losses around that, well, it's what you get with a young, immature baseball team. And the most important thing I said in March was, you got to learn how to win. This team has to learn how to win. Over the course of 162, those lessons are taught over and over and over again. Over the course of 60, well, you're going to try to learn it. You know, you're in the process of trying to learn. I don't know if there's enough repetition in the 60 games for you really to develop that. It's kind of, it gets ingrained into your think and into the way you play the game.
The Sox are trending, Yurko, over a full season through what they've played right now to be an 85-win team. So you're right. Like, yes, that team that we thought would be under normal circumstances, a fringe playoff team, right? Like, now, they're going to make – now, hopefully, because of what's happened and the expanded playoffs, they are going to get in. I think you're right. They're the eighth seed right now, too.
But if you're a Sox fan, this team's going to be maddening to you sometimes.
And
they're
going to
be so good, and then they're going to be so bad sometimes. You're going to go, what in the hell's going on?
Yeah, I think you're right. Watching the offense, I've gotten that feeling through these first 19 games. I mean, they've had some real dramatic ups and downs, and I think that is in large part because they do have a lot of guys that just swing and miss a lot and don't walk a ton. But, boy, you see the potential in them, and that's what's so exciting. You know, again, before anybody writes off Eloy Jimenez, we had some of that nonsense going on earlier in the week, and he should never be playing the field, okay? I've said that for over a year.
Did he get caught in the net again yesterday?
Yes, he got caught in the net again yesterday. Boy. He is going to hurt himself.
He's
it's ridiculous.
Worse than a salmon.
It's terrible. Okay, so I get that he's only an offensive player, but there's still a place for that. You know, you've got guys in the Hall of Fame because of that, whether you like it or not. And maybe that's why the Cubs thought he was expendable. Something tells me Theo Epstein would still love to have Eloy Jimenez back. I don't know, but maybe they always knew, well, he's never going to be able to play the field, and we can go ahead and get rid of him, and he can DH in the American League somewhere. But there was a lot of nonsense earlier in the week about Eloy's a bust and he's this or that. Eloy Jimenez is not a bust, and he's still very young and is going to continue to be a very impactful offensive player. His power is just too ridiculous. His raw opposite field power, everything about him as an offensive hitter, you know, when you is trending in a good direction. You just like him to be a little bit more patient and walk more, but he's still young, and hopefully that comes with age. But
his last two
in the
homers,
field, it's right. Terrible.
His last two homers have been oppo, haven't they?
They have. He hits, and if you look at his home run chart, what is he at now? Like nearing 40 for his career.
Yeah, he's got a great spray chart.
You're going to find a few of them that are into that right, you know, over that right field fence and into the gap in right center field. He's got just that kind of raw, natural, ridiculous power. So he's not a bust. They can be frustrating at times. I just wish he would stop running into the net and into the wall. It's ridiculous.
It looks like a hammock for him, you know? It's a nice little hammock in the corner. Maybe he and Chauncey can go hang out there.
I mean, come on. Like, how many times, right? Like, we
it's going to be more and more.
We have a running count on this, Yuck.
Yeah, running count. I'm waiting for the next Inside the Park homer. Do we get it before Monday for the opposition against the White Sox?
Well, they gave up 2 in 5 games.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if we get another one before Monday.
Has the team ever given up 3? I don't know. We'll talk some NFL when we come back next. You know, the Bears put the pads on. They can do some 7-on-7 stuff tomorrow. It's finally starting to feel, I guess, more like a real training camp up at Halas Hall. On Good Morning Football earlier this week, Kyle Brandt and the crew had Bears safety Eddie Jackson on. So they were talking some Bears. We are going to do the same with Kyle Brandt when we come back next.
Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
If you miss something, the podcast is out there. The all-new ESPN Chicago app is here. Get it now. Get it in the App Store and Google Play.
Remember to check us out on Twitch every day, live in the First Midwest Bank State Street Studios. You see the good kid in there right now. If you're on Twitch, twitch.tv, or download the Twitch app, make sure you follow ESPN 1000 Chicago. It's all powered by Miller Lite and Emil's Sports Bar in Mundelein. All right, the Bears get to put the pads on, some 7-on-7 action tomorrow. Sounds like it's starting to feel more like training camp up there, Yerk, so that's good. I have not watched Hard Knocks yet, I got to be honest.
It'll be on all weekend before they get the new episode on Tuesday, so you'll be able to catch it.
Did you watch any of it?
I have not. You know, Meller and I worked together yesterday, and Meller's like, I feel so unprepared going into this season.
I know.
Because there's nothing to look at. There's no film. There's no tape. You can't see anything. They haven't put the pads on yet. Nobody's there. Nobody has access. There's not a number of eyes on there.
Right.
Most of the reports coming out are from the team's own website, which is crap. You get nothing from there. No truth. So, yeah, it feels kind of weird. It's a weird, weird, weird year.
Yeah, you're right about that. And our next guest is an expert when it comes to all things football because, of course, he's part of the great crew at Good Morning Football on the NFL Network. He's got a new podcast, too. Our good friend Kyle Brandt, who was a regular with us throughout the 2019 season. We hope that's the case again here in 2020. And he joins Carmen and Yurko now on the Corona Hotline on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Kyle, how are you, buddy?
I'm time traveling, guys, back to last season talking to you two gentlemen, and it's before the trade deadline, and we're sitting here hashing out, do we want to make a move for Andy Dalton? Should we try Cam Newton? Should we try anything? We were so frustrated all season, and yet here we sit. There's some sort of ghost-like training camp going on, and hope springs eternal. How are you guys?
We're great. Doing well, yeah. We're enjoying life, kid.
That good. Summed up perfectly. Can Nick Foles save the day after all the problems that the Bears had offensively last year?
You know, it's so ironic to me, so terrible, that Matt Nagy, Mr. Nobody's playing in the preseason, I'm going to die on this hill, I don't care, nobody's playing. He finally says, all right, fine, you guys. You want to play? Screw it. Everybody's playing. We're going to have a true quarterback competition. You're with the ones. We're going to do this thing. And then there's no preseason games. Like, it's just, of all years to reverse your take on no preseason, this was the year. So I think Mitch is going to start. I think Mitch is going to start week one. The question is, will Nick Foles start the second half of that game? And I don't know. Like, I think Mitch is going to start with a quick hook. That's my take right now in a couple weeks into August.
What do you think of what Yurko was saying, too, just like, and I guess he was having this conversation with one of our other guys yesterday about, like, are we all a little bit unprepared? I mean, they might be unprepared. It's such a different offseason. Like, do you get the same sense? Like, normally all we'd be talking about, Kyle, is training camp this time of year. That's it. You know, it's the dog days for baseball. Yeah. Here we are talking about, like, the Cubs with the best start in the league in August, and we're talking about the Hawks playing a playoff game tonight, for crying out loud. And, like, we've barely talked to NFL because of all this.
I know. And no, it would be wall-to-wall how'd Foles throw, how'd Trubisky throw.
That's it.
You know, last year's kicker thing, this year it would be times 50 because it's actually the starting quarterback.
Yes.
And there's none of that. I was listening to Yurko on the way in saying it's a weird, weird, weird year. I'm seeing that there's a report breaking right now that the Seahawks just cut one of their kids because he got caught trying to sneak a woman into their hotel when that wasn't allowed. And so they found him and they cut him. I mean, Yurko, how many times have women been snuck in hotels by football players for decades? That's kind of what happened.
Forever.
Now you get cut.
1990, I broke training camp with Mike Reichenbach and Tony Brown. We're down in Miami. We're out at a bar boozing until 2 a.m. And then we got reported on by the security where were we? St. something. St. Thomas University
Thomas Aquinas
down there. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're down there, and we got reported on. And then they said somebody broke, we've got the license plate. Of course, Reichenbach was from Pennsylvania, so it was easy, a Pennsylvania license plate. So we were cooked the next day, and we were in trouble anyway. They didn't cut us, though.
But now you get cut, right?
They didn't get rid of us, though.
You got in trouble, but now it would be Reichenbach and Yurko on TMZ Sports and Twitter and Instagram, and
people
you'd be
would have
cut
pictures
for going to the bar.
They'd have pictures. What are these guys doing out, you know?
Unbelievable.
So that's the season.
That's COVID for you. Kyle Brandt from the NFL Network is our guest. You guys were talking Bears earlier in the week. I saw Eddie Jackson on with you guys.
Yeah.
I love how committed he is to still trying to play offense. But, Matt Nagy, don't worry about getting Eddie Jackson involved quite yet. Just fix the offense. But on the defense, like, he's still pretty confident, it sounds like, that they can be elite. And maybe, not that they were bad last year, but I guess it's safe to say, Kyle, they took a small step back from where they were in 18. Do you see them being, like, a truly dominant defense again in 2020?
Hicks is obviously big. We know that. But I look at this Robert Quinn. We got to get something out of him because Leonard Floyd, we tried to make it a thing, and they tried and they tried, and it just wasn't going to be a thing. It wasn't going to get it done. And so they signed the guy Quinn. He's done it. He's made money. He's made plays. Can you just give me something off that side? I really think that's a huge deal. You need somebody to be the Pippen to Max Jordan, or there's no way. It's just he was real quiet last year, number 52. And the apologists for pass rushers and coaches always say, well, the sack numbers aren't everything, and they aren't, and I get it. But the all-timers, if you're a first-team All-Pro, you make plays. I don't want to hear that there's chip blocks and tight ends and double teams. I just don't want to hear it. The great ones who make his kind of money, they make plays. So Robert Quinn needs to be big. And second year in Pagano, I mean, the Goldman thing, Yurko's word again, is weird. He's gone, just opted out. But he's got to be better because I don't think the offense is going to be that much better. The defense had better be.
Which one of these receivers is the receiver that steps up this year?
Well, look, I hope it's
Allen Robinson's a stud. No gray.
Allen Robinson, I think, was the best player on their team last year at any position.
Yes.
I think he may still be the best player this year. And I hope it's Miller, but Yurko, my thing is always, I always got a kick out of it last year that your soundbite was always in the middle of the season. The tight end position does not exist for the Chicago Bears. They break the huddle with 10 guys, and they line up, and Mitch tries to throw it down Robinson. So Graham, it's fine. It's the Komet thing. I'm very excited about him, and I know we've had a million tight ends coming through. I mean, literally a million. But this big-ass dude from Notre Dame, this corn-fed, big, smiling guy with the huge arms, like, this guy has got to work out, right? So you asked for a receiver. I said a tight end. I guess that tells you how I feel about the rest of the receivers. I feel fine.
Speaking of tight ends, George Kittle gets more than double what in guaranteed money what any tight end in football has ever gotten, and he's probably worth it because all around he might be the best tight end in the game. I told Yerk that I can't count how many times. Maybe you kept track of how many times he's been on angry runs. I mean, like he's it, Kyle. Like he's the man, and if anybody deserves it at that position, it's probably George Kittle right now.
Yeah, Kittle was the Meryl Streep of angry runs the second we do Good Morning Football. Just every year, there's a state regulation that he must be nominated. And look, there are a lot of superlatives about Kittle. He's old school. He blocks. He buries people. This is the superlative I would give him. I think he is the most valuable non-quarterback on offense in the whole league. The whole league. And I love Michael Thomas. I love Christian McCaffrey.
Yeah, I was going to say more than McCaffrey.
More than McCaffrey. McCaffrey is a running back who does great, great things. Kittle can have two catches for 19 yards and dominate a game. Like, wow. Completely dominate a game. I think he's a leader. I think he's vocal. I think he sets the whole tone. I don't think McCaffrey does that stuff. And I'll even go a step further. If I had to win a huge game in the San Francisco 49ers, I would rather sit down Garoppolo than Kittle. And I'll take my chances with Kyle Shanahan calling plays for C.J. Beathard or Nick Mullins. Kittle, we've never seen a guy like that. We've seen him. We've seen all-timers. We've seen Gonzalez. We've seen Sharps. But what he does in terms of, he's got a Joker tattoo in his arm, and he slaps it in the huddle when he gets pissed. I believe in all that. I think it's really contagious. And on top of that, he once had over 200 yards receiving in one half. So he does everything.
All right, before we let you go, a couple things.
Yeah.
How nervous are people from what you can gather around the league that for, you know, I mean, obviously COVID-related reasons, but for like, you know, all the different things that could go wrong, like how nervous are people that they won't be able to pull this season off?
I got to tell you, dude, right now it feels better than it did 2 weeks ago.
Okay.
So this is what I mean by that. 2 weeks ago, it was like, I don't know if we're having any football. The season felt like one of your favorite characters in Game of Thrones or Better Call Saul, where you're rooting for them and you like them, but you kind of know they're going to die. You just know that in that penultimate episode, they're going to die. That's what the 2020 season felt like. Now it's shifted to, we're getting football. We just don't know if we're going to keep football. So we've upgraded in 2 weeks. Like, they are going to play Chiefs Texans. I know that. It's the opener. Okay. It's in, I don't know what it is, 30 days or something. So, look, there's definitely a huge nervousness, not only because, you know, I want my Saints Bucks, but because people are losing their jobs. And people are having huge pay cuts. So it's not even that there's a nervousness as football fans. There's a nervousness as providers and husbands and fathers and wives. So this is what I would say. I think 2 weeks ago, I think it was at a 9. And I think right now it's like it's sort of a tepid 6. I feel better about it.
And then you got a new podcast. It's on Spotify, YouTube, 10 Questions with Kyle Brandt. And guest number one, not a bad way to start, Aaron Rodgers, right?
Aaron Rodgers, he was unbelievable. You know, you're not going to believe this, Carm. I actually thought about you. It was a Friday night. I sat down with him. He sits in his armchair, and he has what appears to be a bucket of scotch. And for the entire nearly two-hour conversation, he just took pulls of scotch. And for all the scotch guys out there and the whiskey snobs, I asked him, and I wrote it, he was drinking a Balvenie 15-year-old.
Nice.
And I swear in the course of the conversation, I think he finished the whole bottle. I don't know how he was making words, but this guy can put them back.
That's pretty impressive. Balvenie's good stuff, too. I'm not a huge scotch guy, but that's one of the good ones.
Did you ask Aaron if he misses Danica?
You know, the wound was fresh at that point, Yurko. I did not ask
right.
him. I asked him if he ever wants to play for the Bears, and he laughed but did not say no.
Really?
So in the meantime, yes. I think he had a splash of Bears fans' tears in that Balvenie. Yeah. So I hate to say that, but I think he is a part owner of the franchise.
All right, we got to pull that sound. I love it. Kyle, great stuff. We'll talk to you soon, buddy.
You're the best. Thanks, guys.
All right, we'll see you. There he is, Kyle Brandt. He's great, at Kyle Brandt on Twitter. Good Morning Football and his new podcast. Chris, we should go through some of the sound of that and see what Aaron says about playing for the Bears, and not saying yes, but not saying no. He's pretty convinced he's going to finish his career somewhere else, especially after they drafted Jordan Love. He said, hey, I'm not mad. That's just the reality of the business.
I think Favre said that also.
Yeah,
and
Favre, you're right.
Like to see him come to Chicago.
Favre has said it too. You're absolutely right.
At some point, it all has to end, doesn't it? They didn't end it at the good time with Dan Marino. Dan Marino had a decent last season. They made the playoffs, and then they played the Jaguars, and he threw six interceptions.
Yeah, he threw six picks, right?
There's no way to go out of a great career like that. Your final game, you threw six, but hey, he was firing the whole way.
Yeah. Well, we'll hear from Bears head coach Matt Nagy coming up next, and then crosstalk at 2 o'clock. We're coming right back.
This is Carmen and Yurko on ESPN 1000.
See what we're up to.
See them on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago.
I mean, we can't say it enough. I'm sorry. It is so strange for us to be sitting here on an August afternoon and like we barely talked about training camp because there's barely been one. We won't obviously be going there. The fans can't go there. There's a limited amount of media that can go there and see what's happening. They haven't even put the pads on. They get to do that tomorrow. They get to do some 7-on-7 stuff, which is good. But the season's a month away, and it's just like it's so crazy because of all of this. But Matt Nagy, the Bears head coach, did talk to the media over Zoom, and I was talking a little bit about the quarterback competition. I want to play a few things for you. And then we've got the sound that Yurko was referencing, Brett Favre, on a podcast talking about Aaron Rodgers maybe coming to Chicago to close out his career. Here's the Bears coach, though, on how Foles and Mitch have looked so far through this very bizarre start to training camp.
So far, so good. Again, timing that I saw between both those quarterbacks, Nick and Mitch, looked good. There's going to be some times where there's going to be mistakes, and they're working through what we want to do here in this offense and trying to be perfect with that. Specifically, you know, with Nick today, I thought his feet were good. I thought his timing was good. But again, we're evaluating and watching these guys at the same time. And I thought that Mitch too, we've talked about he's growing as well as a quarterback. So both those guys, the room has been great. They're really helping each other out. I told y'all it's going to be a healthy competition, and so far they're proving me right.
Just not a lot really to do other than,
take his word for it.
Well, no, I know, but I mean,
can't see anything.
Whatever these players are doing is just, okay, the footwork is good so far. I mean, it's like, geez, there's not a lot they've done to this point. So,
and the crazy part is this, they'd be breaking camp.
Yeah.
This week, right? They'd be traveling to go someplace.
Yes.
They'd be leaving Bourbonnais right now.
You'd be playing a game.
Bourbonnais to come up to Lake Forest.
Yes. And they'd have a preseason game. And he was like we joked with Kyle Brandt, he's finally committed to playing guys and getting a real look in the preseason. He was going to do that. Now there is no preseason. And how the hell you have a quarterback competition when you don't really have a preseason? But we'll see.
You do. And a lot of this quarterback competition, you can see what the guy's doing, how they're throwing. You can also give them the information. Here it is. Change defenses on them. Disguise things. See if quarterbacks can recognize. Oh, there's ways, Carm. Yeah. You'll know who's the more prepared quarterback as you go in.
Okay. And then I'll take your word for it. Here's Nagy talking about the timeline for picking a starting quarterback.
That, for us, is going to be fluid. And when I say that, we got to be able to see, okay, if we need to sneak more competitive periods in because we feel like we're not getting enough or things are gray, we'll do that. As far as the timeline of that, we'll get together offensively as coaches. We'll talk through everything and we'll decide what we think is best in regards to the communication to the quarterbacks and then the communication as to how we want to handle it with our team. It's just as important for everybody to understand that. So we're not exactly there yet because we don't know how it's going to go here in the next several weeks. But once we get to that point, we'll keep that stuff, private with us. And I promise you, when we feel the time is right, you guys will be the first to know.
Yeah, I wonder when that's going to be. Is that going to be like the Monday before the season starts?
I mean, they're gonna inform us, Karn, but I don't necessarily trust anything that comes out of Hell's Hall. I never have. Ryan Pace has always had misdirection. They always hide stuff. They're not telling you the whole truth. They're telling you their version of the truth.
Right.
So you got to take everything with a grain of salt. You really can't believe anything that comes out of there.
In fairness, don't most NFL teams do that, though, Yurk, you think?
Some are more honest. Some are more willing to put something out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to be able to read between the lines. That skill is definitely, it needs to be there. But I think with the Bears are really one of the teams that you get nothing out of, really, ever.
So here's what Yurko was referencing. Favre on a podcast, I'm not sure where this was, but Favre recently discussing Aaron Rodgers' future in Green Bay. And, like, look, all good things come to an end in this day and age in sports, right? Like, Tom Brady is not a lifelong Patriot. The idea of anybody being a lifelong whatever doesn't really happen that much anymore in pro sports. Tom Brady is leaving after 20 years, and he's playing in Tampa, and Brett Favre had to leave, and, you know, countless others over the years. So what about Aaron Rodgers now that they've spent a first-round pick on Jordan Love? That was a big topic of conversation through the spring and summer because it surprised a lot of people. And as Aaron Rodgers gets older, what does that mean for his future in Green Bay? I guess this is Favre discussing the possibility of Rodgers playing for the Bears.
Where do you think he could go that would inflict the most punishment on the Packers? Like, say he wanted to go your route. You want to show him that you still got it. I was thinking the Bears because the Bears got a pretty uneasy quarterback situation.
I would love to see that. I mean, that would.
You'd love to see Aaron Rodgers on the
Bears? Well, I mean, just from a standpoint of we have killed the Bears collectively.
Yes.
And, I mean, Bear fans would probably be like, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I am so glad Aaron Rodgers is on our team.
Oh, they would embrace him in a hot second.
In a heartbeat.
Absolutely. Who wouldn't? I mean, who wouldn't? Yeah. He instantly makes you a contender.
I would be saying that as a Bears fan if it happened now. From now?
Yeah.
I don't know if I'm saying that 3 years from now. You're like, time is of the essence. Brady might be a little bit of a unicorn in this sense. Like, a lot of guys think they want to play into their 40s. I mean, Breeze, I guess, is close. Breeze is probably 40. Rodgers is getting there. But, like, I don't want it to happen 3 or 4 years from now. Like, could it happen now or could it happen next year?
Is it the earliest next year is when it can happen?
That's what I would think. I mean, of course, it's not happening this year. I'm joking, sort of. But, like, could it happen next year? And would Bears fans embrace that? I think so. And I love how Favre had to drop in there. Oh, collectively, we've killed the Bears.
Yeah, well, that's
well,
true.
They have.
Yeah, that's true if you take a look at it.
It is true, Yerk.
Yeah.
But, like, I mean, sign me up for it if it could happen next year.
That'd be nice. Hey, Carm, Sam Adams is celebrating the return of sports to Chicago. Every day we're highlighting one of the best sports bars in Chicagoland. Today we salute Patty Mac's Bar and Grill on Pulaski. Text Sam Adams to 31996 for your chance to win a Sam Adams summer cooler. Sam Adams and Patty Mac's helping you celebrate the return of sports.
The return of sports.
Nice. Yes. We got Elmhurst Steve on. Maybe we're going to hold on. And we got Vito from I-55. Both guys want to talk. But we'll get him into crosstalk, maybe get a chance to get these guys get some points in, all right?
Yeah, we could do that with crosstalk. Sylvie also texted me, said he did. I think he watched the first episode of Hard Knocks. He wanted to talk about it. So we'll do that with Waddle and Sylvie when we come back. Do a little crosstalk with the guys and see what they have planned to get you through the rest of the afternoon and also get you set for the 4:30 puck drop in Edmonton, game 2 between the Hawks and the Knights. So crosstalk is coming up next. We'll be back in just 2 minutes.